Hi, this is Bennett Tomlin with the Scientific Nutrition Update, the Workday Show, where in 5 to 10 minutes, I give you my thoughts on something new or interesting in the world of health, fitness, or nutrition. For today's episode, I'm going to talk about something I've come across a couple times in Tim Ferriss's writings, and that was that idea that there are athletic benefits to saunas. So I decided to go through the literature and see what evidence existed around this. Turns out, it's pretty interesting. Now, before I continue, I need to remind you again that I am not a doctor. Nothing contained in here should be construed as medical or training advice, and it's purely informational. People have died in saunas. Be smart. Talk to actual professionals. I'm a college kid with a laptop and a bit of curiosity. So, there's a variety of elite-level athletes who have used both hot and cold exposure to help with recovery in attempts to increase growth hormone levels and improve endurance. The idea of this was fascinating to me because it makes a kind of intuitive sense. I know how important it is for the human body to maintain homeostasis, and so it would make sense that when we're in extreme temperature levels, we would see hormone levels shift in order to compensate, though I did wonder whether this would translate into measurable athletic gains. So there was this interesting study done that looked at changes in hormone levels in 55 healthy volunteers in a finished sauna, and they found that serum growth hormone levels were increased by 142% of the baseline, which was a significant increase in the growth hormone levels. These levels, however, did return to baseline within an hour, suggesting to me that the primary utility here may be immediately before or more likely after exercise, and that the primary benefit is likely going to be for athletes at a high level who are looking to eke out incrementally higher gains. What I mean is, for the normal untrained or somewhat active person, the extra effort is likely not worth the gain because there's going to be easier leverage points to focus on. However, for an elite athlete who's already dialed in their diet, their sleep, their training, and everything else, that slight little bit of gain might be worth it. Now, I'm also curious about the claim that saunas could help with endurance. And so going back to the literature, I found an interesting study done on 6 trained cyclists. And what they found was that these 6 men, when they used the sauna after their training, their run time to exhaustion was increased by about 30%. And the authors claimed this worked out to about a 2% improvement in an endurance time travel. So we're again saying that for high-level athletes, this could be a useful technique. However, again, we need to be very careful with this study because it's so small, only 6 people, such a narrow group, endurance cycling men, and there's no way to really blind treatment with a sauna, so it's kind of hard to judge the effect. As such, we do need to be careful not to overinterpret studies like that. Now, there does seem to be some importance to the exposure coming after the workout. There was a study done on 10 healthy weight-trained men, which again is small and hard to generalize, but it looked at muscular strength, endurance, and power after exposure to either normal room temperature air or a sauna. What they found was even when they made sure to maintain hydration, endurance was decreased, bench press stayed the same, and leg press decreased after exposure to the sauna. But interestingly enough, muscular power measured with a vertical jump actually significantly increased, which suggests to me that if I was going to offer advice, I would say it's most likely beneficial to use the sauna after the exercise and not before. But if you're doing a pure muscular power test, like a vertical jump, it may be advantageous to use it before. But again, I'm not a certified personal trainer, and I am not offering individualized advice. Now, there's actually another study that compared infrared saunas to traditional finished saunas and found that both significantly increased growth hormone levels. When I went digging through the data, it was odd. Both types of saunas increased the growth hormone levels, but the traditional increased it by vastly more than the infrared one, just based on the raw initial mean value. Now, I can't imagine why this is, and when I looked deeper, the difference between the two was actually not statistically significant because there was a massive margin of error on the traditional sauna, which the margin of error was larger than the actual value, which suggests to me that we've got a skewed right distribution, severely skewed right, with a couple of outliers really pulling the mean up. Regardless, both forms of sauna showed an improved recovery in jump ability compared to no sauna, which is promising, and both still showed the significant increase in growth hormone. Overall, I think many of the people profiled in Tim Ferriss's work who discussed this usage of saunas for athletic performance may be onto something. Especially for high-level athletes, saunas seem like they could be a useful tool that can help with that last bit of incremental improvement. Please remember, you can always find show notes for this episode and others at scinutrient.com/podcast. That's scinutrient.com/podcast. If you find any great journal articles on anything you think I might find interesting, email them to me at scinutrient@gmail.com. If you have any other questions, send me a voice message on Anchor, and I'll try to answer them on this podcast for you. If you want to learn more about intermittent fasting, consider checking out my book, The Optimized Guide to Intermittent Fasting. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. It helps more than you know. Thank you for tuning in. And remember, live long, live healthy, but most of all, live happy.
Oh, thank you.